Hi, welcome back to the How Ladies Roll podcast. It's your girl Sharon.
And it's your girl Sal. So today we have Duta with us. So I'll just let you introduce yourself and tell us all about you.
My name is Duta Mugo, and I'm a researcher in biotechnology and public health. I also do a lot of science communication, and I'm a violinist.
That's so cool.
Yes.
That's so cool. I have a lot. I have so many questions. Woo. I know. I have so many questions. Okay, can I ask a question?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So I'm gonna get straight into the research, right? Because you're a scientific communicator, and I have a little bit of experience with that. I used to work for a medical scientific communications agency. Nice. So I have a lot of questions about AI. Because I know that the health space is using AI to for doctors to learn. It's a resource. It's a great resource, and it's easier than having them go back to school. Putting them into the classroom. They don't have that luxury. So tell me what your experience is like in that space. Like, what do you do exactly?
What do I do, or what do I do in terms of AI? Because those are different
questions. In terms of AI, they are exactly.
In the Kenyan space, because I'm currently in Kenya, there isn't much going on in terms of AI. And I was actually considering on taking up that for my PhD, like how to incorporate AI into health and biotech. So I don't have much to say about that, unfortunately, about AI.
Okay. Yeah. But so then what are your opinions on using it to as an aid, as a learning tool? What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's definitely useful because it cuts time on research, which is, it's a very intensive process. So if you can use anything in terms of technology to shorten that, I think it would be useful. But then again, there are also ethical questions that come out of that. Yeah,
there are a lot of ethical questions. Mm-hmm. And so are you working on toward getting your PhD right now?
I am currently in the process of application. But I also need to get a scholarship for it because I have no intention of paying for it.
Yeah.
which is fine because all of us need to save coin here and there.
Yeah, PhD is like 3-4 years, and it's always, we're looking at $30,000 to $50,000 a year. That's a lot of money if you're going to cough it up for yourself.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money.
So now I have a question about accessible science. So obviously I'm from Kenya as well, but I grew up in Canada. So as I was telling Sharon before the recording, a lot of things here are more accessible than it is, in Africa in general. Yeah. So what is your definition of accessible science?
I think you can look at it from different angles, but I would say from a public opinion, I think people who communicate science information do it as if they're speaking to their fellow researchers or their fellow scientists. Mm-hmm. And then to the public, it just feels like they're being alienated and the message doesn't get passed across. And then there's this whole barrier in between the public and scientists and the government.
Okay. So what tell us North Americans, what is science like in Kenya? Because I was telling Sharon as well, there are scientists, there are female scientists as well. There are engineers who are females. And I was also saying it's not very common to have females who are in all facets of the STEM research. Yeah. So what is that like? Like, please let us know. Because we're here like, STEM is, a regular career. A female can actually just pick that and they can go with it,
So now it is.
So you're asking in terms of women picking up STEM or?
Yes, women picking up STEM from an African standpoint.
I think currently it is not a problem. I think the biggest problem in Africa as a continent, or even let me just speak about Kenya, is opportunities. There are not very many opportunities in STEM. So people are like, okay, I want to do this, but it's going to be hard. And I don't lie to them that it's going to be hard. And that's why you find that a lot of scientists, especially at postdoc level, are always outside the continent. And then they come back when they can be able to manage their own grants and whatnot. Because if you're below postdoc level, it becomes really hard in terms of entry into industry and whatnot. Because, I mean, the options are quite limited for you, especially if you're into progressive research. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, okay. And so, like, in terms of opportunities in, we'll say Kenya, yeah. Like, what resources would you share to young women who are interested in STEM, who haven't made that decision yet, but would like to learn more about what those opportunities are like?
So, I mean, initially the plan was to create like an interactive website where they would be able to see their options, but that is also a resource intensive exercise. So normally I have it open that you can actually just come and ask me questions. And if it's a field that I'm not particularly knowledgeable about, for example, engineering, I would be able to connect you to someone. And it's part of the reason why I actually have my blog, is to just make you aware that there are options beyond what you know, and that you should feel free to explore them. And I'm always open to questions because it's kind of hard, because STEM is so wide. So for me to say that I can give you like one site that's going to give you information on everything, I think I'd be lying.
Yeah. Well, not necessarily one site, but what type of resources are available. So like, for example, here in Canada, we have something called MARS, and they cover STEAM, so including art as well. Mm-hmm. So they have many different, it's almost like an accelerator, right? So it's for businesses, but it's also for students who are interested in exploring. Mm-hmm. So they aren't necessarily, you know, in school for it yet, but they're interested in exploring the space. They want to meet people who are currently, who are scientists, who are engineers, and like understanding what their work is like, the great projects that they work on. Do you have anything like that in Kenya?
We do not have a one-stop shop for that, unfortunately. I know there are like small groups. For example, I know Women in Engineering organize sessions for that, I think every year or something. But I don't think there's something like that in the country. And that's definitely something to look into.
Yeah, it's actually really, I guess it's interesting, but also saddening at the same time, because you have all this great talent. You have all these females who are hungry for education, for resources, for all of these things. Coming from that background, you know, people would say in Canada we are privileged, but we don't actually look at it that way. We just, you know, you go to Carleton University, one of the best engineering schools, you go to Ottawa U, and then you come out with a degree, you come out with a master's, a PhD, and so be it. Then you go abroad to be a doctor or do a stem cell research, or you do a STEM fundraiser back home. Like, nobody really puts it into perspective how, you know, even for your education, I believe you studied in the UK.
Yeah.
So that's where it makes me angry as someone who kind of lives in both worlds. It's kind of like, you know, one world has a lot of privilege. The other world doesn't really have a lot of resources. So it's kind of, you know, where, at what point, you know, 10 years down, 20 years down, do we bridge that gap of, you know, females who want to get into this industry, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, when I came back, I actually got into depression. I'm not ever going to lie, because it was just sad, like looking at how much opportunity goes to waste. And then again, I mean, the reasons are many, including the government's failure on its part in terms of resource allocation. But it's quite sad. What's going on here? Yeah,
it is. Now, changing up gears, now that you brought up depression, how would you promote mental health awareness to, you know, I'm teetering between both worlds, because obviously as Africans, it's almost a taboo or stigma. They look at you like, what do you mean depression? Just suck it up and do something else, you know. And here, whereas depression is we have a mental health awareness month, we have all these kinds of resources, to now we're gearing into mental health awareness. Whereas I feel like in Africa, there's just, even in Kenya specifically, there's just not that many people who actually support mental health awareness. So how would you promote that?
It's really opening up, though. How would I promote that? as a person, or like as based on my personal experience,
as a person, based on your personal experience, you know, as a friend, how, you know, as a professional, whichever angle you want to take it in.
Wow. Okay, I know how to answer that, but that's a strange angle. No one has ever asked me how you're going to promote mental health. I do talk about it, but I usually try and restrict myself, basically because I am not a psychologist or psychiatrist. Mm-hmm. And so I try and stick to my, what can I say, my barriers or my restrictions. But I most definitely do talk about how to protect yourself and your mental health.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't think you need to even be a therapist or a healthcare practitioner to promote it. Like, I'm not.
Me and either.
Like, I'm a huge health, mental health advocate. I'm loud and proud about the fact that I battle depression. Yeah. And I think that people need to hear more people talk about it, because that's the reality of it. And I think that's another reason why people are afraid to talk about it. Like, especially young women, like, they don't want to go to their friends because they're afraid that they're not going to get the right advice because they're not practitioners. But if we talk about it, like, and I think that's to Salome's point and to what she's asking is, like, you're going to meet a lot of other, you know, potential STEM candidates or young women who want to get their PhDs, who want to work in science, and, like, are going to face these barriers where they're told, okay, you know what, like, yeah, you're a girl, I don't think this is for you, or do you think you can cut it? Like, it must have been really hard for you to, you know, as someone as passionate about science as you are, to position yourself at a place where you could be respected and heard and be like, listen, I want to talk about this. I want to share my experience, or I want to do my research without being judged. So, like, what type of things do you do to help you kind of navigate that space when you are, and I'm sure that's the case, right? Where you're told, you know, I'm not sure if you can do this because you're a woman. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Okay, now I get the question.
Yeah.
I think I'm not, I mean, I don't, haven't done my PhD, but I am connected to very many women on social media who have done or are doing their PhD. And women getting picked on or having a hard time in academia is actually a chronic problem over the years, which I never expected it. And these are, I mean, sorry to bring in race, but these are white women. And so it's even worse for Black women in academia pursuing their PhDs. So I think you really, which is sad, that you have to be a little bit more tenacious than other people, and you just really have to have a solid brain or a mind and a resolution, because otherwise I don't think you're going to survive. It's pretty cutthroat for women, especially in STEM, because you're few. I mean, I'll give you an example. For me, when I was doing my postgrad, we were only two Black people in that class. You couldn't even miss class because it was so obvious.
Oh my God.
Obvious. And it just felt like, even no one is going to tell you this, but it just felt like you had a point to prove, like you couldn't fail. You couldn't be slacking in class. You couldn't be slacking in your research. It was a lot of pressure that's not... Yeah, so I think to cope with all of that, I think working out for me is a great release, whichever the activity that you want to take in. I always say, do what makes you happy. I mean, just because everyone is into Pilates or whatever or yoga doesn't mean you need to take up. Just take up an activity where you feel that your mind gets a break. Yeah. And your body also gets to move, which is essential for mental health.
And that is a great segue into your Instagram, because your Instagram does have a lot of great resources or great, more positive influences. So even the one where you're on the beach and you're stretching, that one was really phenomenal for me anyway, because, you know, in Canada, we don't get sun. We get sun maybe like, through 2-3 months of the year, right?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that, you know, go against us in terms of mental health awareness. So in terms of promoting it, for me on my Instagram, I hope that I'm impacting at least one person just to say it's okay not to be okay. And you know, I have my days too. So with my fitness journey, I post real time saying, you know, at times I don't feel like working out, but I do it just because I want to work out. It makes me feel better. So the end result is much better than the beginning.
It justifies the trouble.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Yes.
And I feel like a lot of people, especially, you know, Sharon, I commend her for being a huge advocate in mental health awareness and stating that she's been battling depression. And I think
that's a very brave thing as well.
Yeah. Right. So I think like a lot of women, as she said, we don't talk about it because it's just, you know, you're not a health practitioner. You can't tell me what to do. You can tell me how to feel, you know. And it's one of those things, like if my post can actually make someone feel better, you know, in the process of just take up baking, even if it's not a physical activity, just try and bake, just do cycling, just do something that actually, as to your point, Dutai, is to make you feel good. It doesn't matter what, you know, someone else is doing Pilates, that's fine. That's great for them. Someone else is, you know, out here lifting heavy weights. Okay, great. But maybe you just want to take a walk. Maybe you just want to bake. So for me, like promoting mental health awareness is just like, you have to recognize the bad days equally as you recognize the good days. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Embracing them. Mm-hmm. So wait, hold up. You're violent. Let me just segue. But I love this because it's so kind of like sidebar. Salome was telling me. So how long have you been playing?
I've been playing the violin for 13 years.
Wow.
But okay. I've been a musician for 17 years. So I was playing, like, I'm classically trained. I'm a classically trained musician.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
that's amazing. So what got you into violin? Yeah. Why the violin as opposed to any other stringed instrument? Yeah.
I have no clue.
You just love it.
I just landed there. So I did music in high school all the way to my national examinations. And then after that, because I was what do they call it? And the system we were in Kenya at that point meant that you had to wait 2 years before you went to uni. So I was like, okay, those are 2 years. What can I do during that time? Because I'm a busybody, I can just sit. I did a diploma in that time in project management. And then I picked up the violin just to literally pass time.
That's awesome.
And then later on, I was like, oh, wait, there are actually orchestras in Nairobi. I didn't even know an orchestra existed. And
what? So, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, now there are many, but at that point, there were just like two of them. There was one, which was 99% white, which has been there since colonial periods.
Right.
And then there was another one, which is like a student orchestra. So that's the one I joined. So it was like a very... what can I say, organic journey, because later on, I kept on playing with the orchestra, slowly trying to build up my skill. Later on, I was playing in gigs, and next minute I was teaching. So it was just all a very progressive journey, which has been great.
And I think that's amazing. So in terms of violin lessons, I guess, what does that look like from your perspective in searching for even violin teachers? Because I didn't even know we had that in Nairobi.
So where the orchestra that I joined was actually a student orchestra for the music school. So it's called the Kenya Conservatory of Music, which is still one of the best places to get your instrumental training in the country, apart from private teachers. So that's where I started. Okay. And then we'd have like visiting musicians from, say, Europe or whatever that would come in, and I would take in master classes with them. So just taking any opportunity that comes your way.
This is cool. Are you okay really if we share these resources on our social?
In terms of like the school, for example.
Yeah, the Kenya Conservatory of Music. I just went on there just to see what it's like. It's really cool.
Yeah, because it looks like we do have a lot of listeners coming in from Kenya, so it would be very resourceful for them
you can share that.
To know. Awesome, awesome. I was going through your Instagram. I saw I guess, a post about a menstrual cup. I've never used one. Sorry, and I hope this is not getting too personal, but we were wanting to talk about things that your mom never told you.
Yeah.
So I've never used one, and I'm scared to use one. Well, I don't get my period anymore, but when I was getting my period, I was afraid to use one. I've talked to Salome about this. What is your relationship to that?
That is like the best thing since sliced bread, if you ask me.
Are you serious?
Really? I'm not even kidding you. If I lost my cup right now, I'd lose my head.
Like, do you feel like, okay, so I don't get my period either. I'm on the IUD birth control. So Sharon and I do exchange these conversations because we do have other guests who, you know, are promoting menstrual health. So menstrual cups for me is just like really nerve wracking because I'm like, will it stay in place? Like, because I want to take off my IUD, so I want to get options into what's next.
It goes nowhere,
really.
Yeah, it stays
because
still?
It has little holes at the rim, like just below the rim. So it works by suction. So it, exactly, yeah.
Okay, so
I have so many questions.
Okay, so when you were in the stall and you're removing it, like let's say you're in a public place, so then you just empty it into the. These may sound very like very simple questions, but it's because they are, because I really don't know how they work.
Just go ahead.
So you just pour it into the toilet,
and then
you wrap it up, and then you
just clean it out. Either if you have clean water next to you. You can give it a quick rinse, or if not, you can just wipe the towel tissue and just put it back.
Oh, so they are reusable.
Yeah, I've used one for 2 years. Same one.
That's great. That's so good for the environment. Yeah.
So good for the environment.
What kind of material does this have? Because I'm also hypersensitive, so
it uses clinical grade silicone.
I'm sorry.
So the same one, the same one that they use in hospitals for, say, catheters or whatnot.
Silicone. So it's non-porous. It's good. It prevents infection. That's awesome.
That makes so much more sense.
Yeah. Because you're not the first one to say like they're great. Everyone I talked to is like they're so great, and I'm like I missed that boat. Didn't get to try it.
Maybe I'll try it.
Yeah,
and they're so comfortable, and you can have them for. I mean, if you don't have a heavy flow, you can literally have it on for 12 hours. I forget about it. Yeah.
So how do you feel, you know, when it is that time of the month, you personally, what are your I don't want to call them symptoms because that implies that having a period problem, right?
Yeah.
So what are the things you do to keep like a positive mental health day?
I don't have any physical, I don't want to say symptoms, but I don't experience anything in terms of like cramps or whatever. I just have really low moods. And so I just ensure that I get in my workout, just even if it's something very light, just so that I'm not moody, because I know I can be moody as hell.
Which honestly, it's not just yourself saying you're moody. We actually had a previous guest who was saying, you know, she's done a lot of scientific research, and she was saying at that point when we are menstruating, we do experience different moods. It's just the way it is. It's not like, you know, as a woman, you're like, oh, I'm moody. But it's an actual proven thing that.
It's hormonal.
It is hormonal.
And she actually was saying that it was her boyfriend who was calling her out and saying, hey, you're on your period, which is a huge stigma. Yeah. But like actually also talking about being diagnosed, she thought she was bipolar.
Oh, God.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
She was like, so that's kind of propelled her to do her research to be like, what do I need to take? What nutrients, what vitamins do I need to take so that I can feel better.
Because
so it's a huge stigma that
That's terrible.
That people feel it's terrible, right? But it's great that this is why we have these conversations, because we want people to talk about it, because guarantee someone else is out there thinking, oh my God, my boyfriend or my partner or my friend's gonna be like, you're on your period because you're acting this way. Yeah. And then you accept it, which is okay to embrace it, but to also be like, listen, like there's a reason why I feel like this. biologically, there's something going on in my body, and it would happen to you if you were experiencing it too, right?
Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, you know, in Dutai, I don't know if you guys have this in Kenya, there's this company called She Thinks. They create period panties where you can just flow freely into your panty.
I think that I've heard of about it, but I haven't tried it, but I've seen something like that in the country.
You know, what they're creating now is, I was watching a few commercials about, you know, what Sharon was saying is, if you had your period too, in terms of a male, so it's the whole setting is a female talking to a male saying, hey, you would feel the same thing if you had your period too. So that's the whole, like, they're trying to debunk the myth of just females having periods. And I thought that was really neat. And I was like, I don't think that would ever air in Kenya. I don't highly know, culturally, I guess it would be.
Yeah, okay.
I'm sure those Kenyan men would be like, oh, okay, we are talking about periods on our news.
Is it something, so I'm obviously I don't know much about it, is that something that you can't talk about openly, like your period or relationships? Or
I think that's very dependent on the setting that you are, because Kenya is very diverse in terms of what you can talk about where.
Awesome. Well, this has been really great. We're really, really excited to have you on here. Are you able to share maybe where people can follow you online?
So there's my website, which is ndutamugo.com. And if you go to my connect, is it connect me page or something?
What's the word?
Oh, the link tree.
Not link tree, but on my website, if you go about to connect with me or something, how if you contact me, oh my god, contact me page, it has it has all my socials there, so you can find me on that.
Awesome.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank great. You so much.
Thank
Dita.
You so thank much you. For this.
Thank you for joining me.
Really, it was so good. Yeah.
Really inspired, and we know that because also we do have a lot of listeners coming from Kenya, we want them to feel inspired by your journey and also the things that you're doing too. So we will make sure to share all your social, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Sharon and Sal.
Thanks, Duta. Thank
you. It was a pleasure.
Bye.
All right.
Take it easy. Bye.